Good morning. Today's daf in Moin Katan is daf test. We're on the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah started us off yesterday, and they're right in the middle of Ches Amud Beis, telling us that there's an Isser not to get married on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is a time of Simcha. Cannot think of a better time to get married than Chol HaMoed, but the Mishnah says it's Osir. One's not allowed to do so. The Mishnah does not give an explanation, which opens the door for the Gemara to give four explanations. You can count it as three, but it's four different explanations. Just to review the four different explanations from yesterday's Gemara. So number one, that was given by Rabbi Chanina. L'fishein marvin simcha b'simcha, he cannot mix up simchas. He cannot take simchas to two simchas and put them together. According to Tosis yesterday, Tosis says it's a function of enos and mitzvahs, chavilos. Chavilos, you can't bundle your mitzvahs. You bundle your mitzvahs together, it really shows a lack of reverence to every mitzvah. You're not treating every mitzvah with the proper respect, so therefore you can't bundle your mitzvahs, you can't take Simchas Yantav and put it together with the Simchas Nesu'in, and just you can't do that. That's number one. Number two, you're going to leave Simchas Regel in order to be Mesamech B'Ishta. Right, similar idea, but right, so that's why I'm not sure to count this as the second one. The way the Gemara presents it sounds like it's the second one, but basically, you're going to forget about Simchas Yantav. You're going to be so excited about your new wife, you're going to forget about Simchas Yantav. That's the second explanation. The third one is Toreach. Toreach. It takes a lot of work, effort to put together a chasna. So it's simcha, but at the same time, it's also stressful. And so you're not really going to enjoy your yantav. And number three is, mimnei bitul peruvia, you're going to neglect the mitzvah peruvu. As we explained yesterday, what does that mean? What's this fourth answer given by Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha? It's the idea that if you're allowed to get married in a Chol HaMoed, everyone's going to get married in a Chol HaMoed. And even if you really should have been married a week ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, but right back then, work obviously, right, people had excellent work ethic back then. I don't know if that's changed, but the idea would basically be, look, let's not take off work right now. All right, I'll continue working, and Chol HaMoed, anyway, I'm off Chol HaMoed, so we'll get married Chol HaMoed. And so basically people will postpone their weddings till Chol HaMoed, and that'll be a bit of the mitzvah peruvu. All right, Meisvei. That's what we got to yesterday. We are now at the last line of Ches Amud Beis, continuing from where we left off. The Gemara is now going to challenge based on a brayso. Kol elu sha'amar asur and lisa b'moed, mutar and lisa erev haregel. But then the brayso says, even though there's a prohibition not to get married on Chol HaMoed, but you are allowed to get married on erev haregel. Erev yontif, you're allowed to get married. Kasha l'kulo. I'm sorry, kasha. The Gemara says that that's difficult. So now, why is that difficult? So let's take a look at Rashi. Well, I'm sorry, not yet. Let's continue in the Gemara. So Lakula Lokasha Laman Damer Mishum Simcha. Now, at this point in time, the Gemara thinks that this is a question on everybody, meaning on every one of the opinions that we just explained. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Well, before we get to the point of not necessarily, why is it a question on everyone? Because let's think for a moment. You're getting married in Erev Yontif. So what does that mean? Look, marriage is one day, but there's what's called Sheva Brachas, meaning there's a week of Simcha. When a man gets married, it's almost like a Yantav, and he's Mesamech with his wife for 1 week. Gemara beginning of Ksuvos, right? Dav Zayin, Dav Ches, discusses this in much greater detail, but we all know. In other words, 7 days, including the day of marriage, is Sheva Brachas. It's Simei Simcha. So you get married in Erev Yantav, okay, so you're going to be Mesamech with your wife for that day, but you're also going to be Mesamech for the next 6 days, which you're obviously going to cut into Chol HaMoed. So all the problems that we were looking to avoid previously, the Gemara says, we haven't avoided them if you're allowed to get married on Erev Yontif. So the Gemara goes on to explain. If the issue is an issue of Simcha, meaning that your marriage is going to encroach on the Simchas Yantav, it really won't. Because the Gemara says, Iker Simcha Chad Yamahu. The main Simcha is day one, meaning the Chasna. Right? The Chasna, the day that you get married, that's the Iker Simcha. Yes, there are 7 subsequent days that are going to be Simcha, but that's a peripheral Simcha. That's not the main Simcha. So therefore, there will not really be an encroachment of the Simchas HaNisuin into the Simchas Chol HaMoed. As opposed to if you get married on Chol HaMoed, so then you're actually going to have Simchas of your marriage, which is going to encroach on Simchas Yantav. That's number one. Number two is that continues the Gemara. Laman damar mishum tircha ikar tircha chayumo. Now, if the problem is putting a chasna together is stressful and it's a lot of work, so the Gemara says that's true. Not that's true, But that's talking about day one, meaning the day of the chasna. Sheva brachos is not that stressful. It's not that time consuming. Okay, that's good. And Laman, Dhamma Mishum Bitta Piravrivya, Lachayum Alomashi in Shenavshe. So the Gemara says, and what about Bitta Piravrivya, right? Which the Gemara pointed out yesterday, if you're allowed to get married in Chol HaMoed, everyone's going to push off the wedding to Chol HaMoed. The Gemara says, the heter to get married on Erev Yontiv is not that enticing. It's not that exciting. The heter, if there would have been a heter to get married in Chol HaMoed, everyone would have pushed off to Chol HaMoed. Because think about it, Chol HaMoed, we have basically a week. So, we'll get married on the first day of Chol HaMoed. Second day of Chol HaMoed, like, you know, it's like a long landing ship over there. Plenty of room to negotiate and plan a wedding for Chol HaMoed. If there's only a head to get married on Erev Yontiv, that's a very small landing ship, right? Let's push off the wedding because we can get married on Erev Yontiv. Like, that's not that exciting. People, the Gemara says, people will not extend or push off the marriage just so they can get married on Erev Yontiv. So all the concerns about getting married in Chol HaMoed, the Gemara articulates, is not true by Erev Yontiv, and so therefore it does not pose a question. This idea that you're not allowed to mix two simchas together, where's the source of this? So the Gemara now, for really the rest of today's Amud, not today's Daf, but at least for Tes Amud Aleph, is going to now discuss and explore this idea that I cannot mix up two simchas together, and where do I know that from? So again, so go back to Tosus that we pointed out yesterday. Tosus says it's really a function of Einos and Mitzvot Chavilos. Similar to the idea that you're not allowed to bundle Mitzvot together. But what the Gemara now is going to introduce us to is that there are psukim that speak to this idea very clearly. So, Dichsiv. So the Gemara over here tells us, brings us to the beginning of Melachim Aleph. Right, this is the 8th Perek. This is after Shlomo HaMelech finishes the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash. He makes a celebration, what is called Chanukah Sabayis. Right, over here it's Chanukah Sabayis, Chanukah is Beis HaMikdash. Right, the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a festivity that's going to go for 7 days. When does it happen? So let's see the Pesukim inside. So a major festivity is made. It was made for 7 days. And then, there was another 7 days. Arba Asayom, making a total of 14 days. Okay. Later on, the Gemara is going to point out that we could have figured out that 7 plus 7 is equal to 14. The Gemara is going to address that later on. But meanwhile, what do you see over here? There were 7 days of festivity for Chanukah Sabayis, followed then by another 7 days. Now, the Gemara citation, the pasuk over here, doesn't make this point clear, but let me make the point clear. Those next 7 days are Sukkos. The next 7 days are Sukkos. So that means that, let's look at the calendar of Tishrei. So Sukkos starts on the 15th. So from the 15th to the 21st, now I know there's a 22nd day, it's called Shmini Atzeres. But from the 15th to the 21st, that's the 7 days of Sukkos. So that means that the day 7 days prior, that would make it from the 8th, right? The 8th to the 14th? Or 7th? Well, you always have to count. In the calendar, you have to count the day itself. From the 8th to the 14th, so that's the 7 days in which they made a Chanukah Sabayis. Now, already what you should be thinking about is the idea that of those 7 days, one of those days is Yom Kippur. And does that mean that on that year, on that Yom Kippur, they had a festivity? The answer is going to be yes. If this is the first time you're hearing this, so then it's surprising. If it's not the first time you're hearing it, so then you're like, oh yeah, I know, I knew that. That Yom Kippur, they didn't observe Yom Kippur. Okay, so anyway, we'll get back to that point in just a moment. But first of all, right now, the Gemara's the idea over here is that there were 7 days of festivity, Chanukah Sabayis, and then 7 days of Sukkos. So the Gemara says, now, let's say that the halacha was that I can be ma'ariv simcha b'simcha. So why not just simply push off the Chanukah Sabayis and have it overlap? Meaning, let's double dip. Let's use the 7 days of Sukkos and use them also for Chanukah Sabayis. It must be, this is the Gemara's argument, it must be ein ma'ariv simcha b'simcha. And that's why They did first 7 days of Chanukah's Abayis, followed then by 7 days of Sukkot. The Gemara says it's not a compelling raya. The Gemara immediately points out, "V'dema minta lo natrinan ve'echidis rami avdinan." So the Gemara says, look, maybe just by the building of the Beis HaMikdash, they finished on the seventh day of Tishrei. And they started on the eighth day of Tishrei. It's not a compelling argument. It just could simply be that that's what happened. But had it been the case that the construction went for another week, so then they would have, Sukkot would have been both Sukkot and also Chanukah Tabayis. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, if you are allowed to double dip, so then they should have delayed the conclusion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, no, that's not true. No. If you have a chance to build the Beis HaMikdash, you finish the job. It's a mitzvah. Building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah. You finish the job as soon as you can. So the Gemara says, that's not true. They shouldn't have just simply delayed it. So the Gemara says, well, can't you make an argument that, I understand, the main component of the Beis HaMikdash, that you should get, you should finish right away. That should be completed right away. But why not make the following argument? Leave something off until Sukkot. So that way, the Chanukah Sabayis is going to be pushed off to Sukkot. For example, the Gemara says, what's an example of leaving something off? Kalya Orev. Kalya Orev, what's that? Do you remember? We discussed this back in Midos and in Tamid. Kalya Orev is basically the scarecrow on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I say scarecrow happens to be that one of the Mefarshim actually said there was a scarecrow on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. It's such a strange visual. Or if you take a look at Rashi over here in our Gemara, Rashi does not give that depiction, that kind of visualization. Rashi says there were like spikes that were built on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason being, so that no ravens would fly, no birds would fly on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now we happen to have seen recently, right, what is it? It's the fifth Perek of Pirkei Avos? I hope I'm right. The fifth Perek of Pirkei Avos that says that there were 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them is that there were no bees, there were no birds, there were no insects flying around the Beis HaMikdash. So you can make the argument that there was no need for the Kalya Orev. Either way, the point the Gemara is making is, why not just simply leave that over, and so therefore we could push off the building of the Beis HaMikdash until Sukkot. So the Gemara says, Kalya Orev Tzarech Binyan Habayisu. So the Gemara says that was not a tangential part of the Beis HaMikdash, that also was necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, again, the Gemara's point is as follows. You can't delay the building of the Beis HaMikdash. You finish it as soon as you can. And so we don't have a compelling argument over here of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. It could very well be that they finished the Beis HaMikdash 7 days before Sukkot. That's all. And if the Beis HaMikdash would have been finished the day before Sukkot, they would have celebrated Chanukah Sabayis during Sukkot. We don't have a compelling argument. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. You don't have a compelling argument, but let's go back to the Pasuk. And now we're going to make the point. Where? First the Pasuk says there are 14 days. Then the Pasuk says it's 7 plus 7, and we kind of knew that. We know 7 plus 7 is equal to 14. So Shema Mina, Hani Lechud, Hani Lechud. The Navi is going out of its way to make the point that the 7 and 7 are mutually separated from one another. You have to make it 7 plus 7. It cannot be that the 7 is going to overlap with the 7 because of the rule of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. So basically, a diuk in the Pasuk. Amra Parnach, Amra Yochanan, Osa Shana Losa Yisos Yom Kippurim. Okay, so here's the shocking statement of the day, and that is that year of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which was historically 480 years after we left Mitzrayim, right? We left Mitzrayim in the year 34, no, I'm not saying it right, 2448, right? So 400, right, from creation. So 480 years later, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that Yom Kippur was not observed. Okay, that's your shocking statement for the day. And why not? Chanukah Sabayis, they just built the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning that's one of the chief goals of going into Eretz Yisrael, right?
Is that a mitzvah? That's it.
Right, so, correct. So, we're gonna building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah, let's say.
Well, no, but a celebration.
Right. Understood. Totally understood. So, now, it was, and I won't address the question directly, but you'll see. Basically, the rest of this Amud is going to try to figure out how do they do that. So that year, they, because of the Chanukah Sabayis, they basically ignored Yom Kippur. Now, of the things to ignore on the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur is one of those which we normally would think is not something you should ignore,
there's
current,
right?
Yeah. And they're thinking, now they're worried, right? So Nam Shei Yisrael is a euphemism. They're thinking that they deserve to be destroyed, meaning that such an egregious offense of Yom Kippur, right? They're eating and drinking Yom Kippur because of the Chanukah Sabayis, so they think they're going to be destroyed. Meaning, they made a decision, but they were really second-guessing themselves. Yatza Baskel, V'amar Lahem, Kuchem Mezumanim, L'chaye Olam Haba. Baskel comes out and says, Olam Haba, meaning good. So it was a good decision. So my Darosh. So now the Gemara is going to give us a little bit of insight into what was the thought process. What led them to the conclusion that for that Yom Kippur they're going to eat? You know, strange conclusion. What led to them that? Amar Kavachomer. Ma Mishkan Shein Kedushas Kedushas Olam. Look, let's go back to the other inauguration. And this now this addresses your question. Meaning it's the word mitzvah, I don't know if it call it like a mitzvah. It's like one of the 613. Where we have to celebrate the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But there's historical precedent where they celebrated the building of the Mishkan, and that was in the desert. In the desert, the Mishkan was built. Now, the first day of operation was day one of Nisan, of the second year, but there was, forgive the poor analogy, but there was spring training. Meaning there was eight days of inauguration. By the way, interesting, there were 8 days of inauguration. But there were 8 days of inauguration prior, and there were 8 days of inauguration prior to the Mishkan, and then what happens on day one, meaning on opening day, there was also more celebration. How long did the celebration go? 12 days, because everyone in the Nesiim brought a carbon. So there were 8 days before, 12 days of celebration upon the opening of the Mishkan. And it overrode. Thank you. It overrode the Shabbos. Every one of the Nesiim offered a carbon on their respective day. And obviously, if we're going to go 12 consecutive days, it's got to be we're going to go over a Shabbos. And meanwhile, in a carbon yachid, we all know you can't bring a carbon yachid on Shabbos for the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash. Yes, you can.
It was offered in lieu of a Shabbat carbon.
Not in lieu. In addition. But even in addition, you can't bring a carbon yachid on Shabbos, and they did. So from there, now they're going to generate the halacha that you can override. Now, here's the argument. The Gemara says, "V'karben yachid doche Shabbos." The isur skila. Now, Mishkan. Let me start again. Let me present the argument in its full. Ma Mishkan she'en kedusha kedusha solam. Now, Mishkan has kedusha, but not kedusha solam. The Mishkan is temporary. They knew that, right? They built it for the desert. And meanwhile, the Mishkan with lesser Kedusha overwrote Shabbos. Shabbos is an Isser Skila, meaning put Shabbos and Yom Kippur side by side. Shabbos is more Chomer, evidenced by the fact that the punishment for a violation of Shabbos is corporal capital punishment. So, the Karban Yachid Doche Shabbos, Isser Skila, Mikdash, the Kedusha, so Kedusha Solam. Now the Kal V'Chomer, everyone see where the Kal V'Chomer is going? Now we're going to go to the building the base of Mikdash. That's Kedusha So Kedusha Solam. Right? The plan was to keep it up there forever. I understood it only lasted 400 years, but that was the plan. And meanwhile, the carbon Sibur of Yom Kippurim, Danish Karvis, so Kol Shekein. And meanwhile, the carbon that was offered was a carbon Sibur. I'll get back to that in just a moment. Why the Gemara refers to it as a carbon Sibur, as opposed to the Nesim, which was called carbon Yachid. And what are we going to override? We're going to override Yom Kippur, which is Enosh Kares, less than Shabbos. Right? Kares is less than Skila. So so if we're able to override Shabbos with a Karban Yachid for a Mishkan, which lesser Kedusha, so for sure with a Mikdash, which has more Kedusha, you can override Yom Kippur. Okay, that is the argument that was employed. This idea that the carbon that was brought was called the carbon Sibor. So why was it called the carbon Sibor? So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Demashayu makrivim bemechanukas abayis carbon Sibor." So Rashi doesn't give much of an explanation. Rashi just simply says it was a carbon Sibor. Okay, unclear how the Gemara knew that. Meaning, you could have made the argument that it was carbon yachid. not totally. How does the Gemara know that? I don't know. But anyway,
it's because each
Nasi brought for his trial. The Nasi was a Karban Yachid. Mm-hmm. So that the Gemara says, if a Karban Yachid can override, and the Karban Yachid has less of a right to override Shabbos, so the Karban Sibor for sure can override. That's the argument. But how does the Gemara know that what Shlomo brought was a Karban Sibor? Unclear. Okay. So Ella Amai Hayu Do'agim. So good. So now they constructed a Kal V'chomer. So why were they worried? Now, even before we go further in the Gemara, like we can all simply suggest, they were worried because it's a Kal V'chomer, meaning it's an argument. Right? It's a logical argument. Now, we all know that we can make logical arguments. In fact, Kal V'chomer, everyone agrees, meaning Rashi, Tosafot, it's a debate, but everyone agrees that a Kal V'chomer can be constructed. And you don't have to have a Masorah for Kal V'chomer. But it's an argument, and you can argue, and you can counter argue. So the Gemara, their concern could be: look, we are developing a halacha, we are constructing a halacha, but it's based on an argument. Okay, the Gemara is going to point out a specific reason why they were worried. Hasam tzorach gavohu hachad tzorach hejo. Look, when the Nesim were bringing their carbon tzorach gavoa, what kind of carbon was it? It's carbonola, totally burnt, meaning they're not benefiting from it whatsoever. What kind of carbon were they bringing by Shlomo HaMelech in the Beis HaMikdash? Carbon Sibur. I'm sorry, carbon Shlomim. Right, where they're going to eat from it. So it's not the same. So even though you constructed a logical argument to Kal V'chomer, but the conclusion that they arrived at is not exactly the same. So Hachinami Ma'avel Abdu Mechalo Nichlu V'lo Lishtu. So the Gemara says, well, why not do the following? Why not offer a carbon and by Shlomo HaMelech, but just not eat it, meaning it's Yom Kippur. So offer, but don't eat. The Gemara says ain't simcha below achil v'shtiyah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't represent simcha. Simcha by definition means bring the carbon and eat the carbon. Umishkan didachi Shabbos minala. Now, how do I know that the Mishkan overrode Shabbos? Meaning, we're going to go back to the argument that they constructed. It was based on the fact that the Mishkan, that in the inaugural days of the Mishkan, so it overrode the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? It's very simple. Go to the Parsha of Nesiim, and you're going to see day 1, day 2, day 3, and it goes all the way to day 7. Actually, it goes beyond day 7. It goes 12 days in total. So the Gemara says, Demo Shvi'i L'Karbanos. The Gemara says, yeah, but 7 doesn't mean the 7th consecutive day. 7 could mean 6 days, right? So Sunday through Friday. And 7th just can be simply represent the 7th Nasi bringing a Karban. And he'll skip a day, and he'll bring it on Sunday. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by day 11, the Torah introduces the word Yom. Yom means it's the 11th day. The Gemara says, The Gemara says, maybe not, maybe it means 11 days which are fitting and appropriate, meaning except Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Ksiv Karachina b'yom shtemasa yom." It says the 12th day. Mayom kula ritzufaf shtemasa yom kulam ritzufim. So it means there were 12 consecutive days. Obviously, one of them had to have been Shabbos. V'duma hachanami yamim aruuyim. Again, the Gemara tries to argue this point as well. Maybe it could just simply mean 12 days of those that are fitting to bring a carbon. Imkain trei kri lama li. So the Gemara says, yeah, but then the Torah would not go out of its way to say 11 days, 12 days. The Torah is clearly trying to make it clear that they brought carbon on 11, 12 consecutive days, one of them being Shabbos. So by the Mishkan, one of the Nesim brought his carbon on Shabbos. Now by the Mikdash, how do we know that they overrode Yom Kippur? Meaning, we have now been arguing for the last 10 minutes that this idea that that year Yom Kippur, they didn't observe Yom Kippur. How do you know? Maybe what they did is, all right, 4 days before Yom Kippur, or I should say 3 days before Yom Kippur, celebratory days, and then the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, another 4 celebratory days, maybe the sum total of 7, but Yom Kippur they observed. So, now, it could be that the fact that the Navi in Malachim says 14 days, days which are fit. So, Gamar Yom Yom Hasam. I'm sorry. Gamar Yom Yom Hasam. So, the Gemara says, well, look, by the Mishkan, we just concluded that Yom means Ritzufim. It means consecutive. So, too, by Shlomo HaMelech, the word Yom means consecutive. Yatsa baskav amar lahem kuchem mizumanim lachaya olam haba. Uminalan de achel luhu. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them? Forgiveness, by the way, certainly gives the indication that they did something wrong. Meaning, the idea that the Gemara over here is representing, that they, that there was a forgiveness, it sounds like it was an argument, but maybe not. Maybe they shouldn't have done it. Not totally clear, but anyway. How do we know they were forgiven? The Gemara quotes a Braisa. B'yom ha'shmini shalach etz'am v'yavarchu etz'amelech v'yelchu lo'olechem smechem v'tuv elev ha'kol ha'tova asher asa Hashem l'David Avdo l'Yisrael Amo. So the Shlomo HaMelech gives everyone a bracha, meaning when it's time to go. So in other words, they just completed 14 days of celebration, 7 days before Sukkot, plus the 7 days of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, and Shlomo HaMelech gives them all a bracha. Shahachu umatsu nesheim, I'm sorry. So, and now we're going to explain each aspect of Shlomo HaMelech's bracha. Le'ol ha'lechem, go back to your tents. Shahachu umatsu nesheim betahara. So when they went back home, so their wives were betahara, so they could be with their wives. Smechem, she'enenu meziv ha'shchina. They were sameach, they enjoyed from the ziv ha'shchina. The building of the Beis Hamikdash, they experienced Shechina. Tuvei Lev, shekol echad ve'echan is abri ishto b'men zachar. And Tuvei Lev, so each one of them, and when they went home, impregnated their wives, and ben zachar. Akol ha'tova she'asa basko ve'amra lehem, I'm sorry, akol ha'tova, that's from the Pasuk, and now the Gemara is going to explain, she'asa basko ve'amra lehem, kuchem mizumanim l'chayei ha'olam haba. You're all going to get a portion of the world to come. It's from that point of the bracha of Shlomo HaMelech that's where we see encrypted in the psukim the bracha that good. It was in other words, Yehi Yom Kippur. Everyone is harboring a little bit of guilt, right? Jewish guilt. How could Yehi Yom Kippur? It's good.
Yeah. If somebody was given Olam Haba, right? Mm-hmm. Could it be rescinded?
That's a big question.
Because Shlomo here is short Olam Haba, and then in Masechet Sanhedrin they talk about the Chumrah taking it away from him, right? Because of
right. But again, this is not a discussion of Shlomo HaMelech. This is a,
I know, but he was part of the group.
I understood. This was a referendum on everybody who was eating on Yom Kippur.
Yeah. My question is.
I hear you. I don't know. It's a big question. So the David Avdo Yisrael Amo, and who else got a bracha? David got a bracha, and the Jewish people got a bracha. To which the Gemara now wonders. B'Shlomo Yisrael Amo Dachalu Avon Yom Kippurim. The Jewish people getting a bracha that I understand. They ate on Yom Kippur. Debatable, controversial, right? Guilt ridden. So to which the Gemara says, no, that's good. That's why the Jewish people got a bracha. But David, Al David Avdo Maihi Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So the Gemara now is going to introduce us to Agadata, which is going to explain why Shlomo HaMelech not only gave a bracha to the Jewish people, but David. David at this point in time no longer was with us. But David got a bracha. Because B'shash Shabike Shlomo Lahachnis Aron LaMikdash. So when Shlomo brought the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, Davku Sha'arim Zeh Lazeh, the gates kind of closed themselves up. They stuck together. They clung together. Amr Shlomo Asim Barba Renanos. Shlomo HaMelech said 24 tefillas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Rashi says Rina, and you'll look through the Pesukim and you're going to see words like Rina, Tchina, Tefillah, Bakasha, all mentioned in the Navi, and you'll find 24 of them. Okay, I didn't do the research, but I'm trusting Rashi. V'lo nene. And meanwhile, Shlomo wasn't answered as he's trying to bring the Aron into the newly built Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk v'amr su shemer shechem. And he quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim. Right? Now, I understand. Tehillim is authored by David, but again, all this is benevuah, so time is not really an issue. So v'lo ne'ene kevin sh'amr Hashem Elokim al teshe p'nei mishichecha zachar l'chaste David avdecha. And then finally Shlomo petitions, let the Aron in the schus of David HaMelech, my father. And miyad nena b'osasha nefchu p'nei sone David kishula kedera. And all the and the gates opened up, and at that moment the enemies of David, their faces blackened, meaning they were quieted. Meaning all the critics of David HaMelech were silenced because the Aron comes in b'schus David HaMelech. V'yadu akol shemachol akash baruch hu l'osa avon, David was forgiven for oso ha'avon, that sin. Right? And the Gemara expects us to know what we're talking about, and hopefully we all know what we're talking about. Okay. Good. Rav Yonatan ben Amasi, Rav Yehuda ben Gerim, Tnu Parshas Nedarim, Bei Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, two, call them Tanayim, the late Tanayim, Right, Rav Yonasan ben Amasi and Rav Yehuda ben Gerim were learning the Parsha of Nedarim in the yeshiva of the Rashbi. E pater mine ba'orta. Now that night they said, we're going to go, so it was a goodbye. And then let's safra the next morning, hadar v'kam iftar mine. They go back to the Rashbi, and they excuse themselves once again. Okay, so in other words, a long goodbye. They said goodbye in the evening, and in the morning, they slept there that night. They didn't want to leave without saying to the Rashbi goodbye, even though they said goodbye already the night prior. So the Rashbi says, you know, I'm not about long goodbyes. Right? You said goodbye to me yesterday. Like, why are you coming back again? So they said, with all respect, you taught us. If the student is said goodbye to the Rebbe, but they sleep in town, so they got to go before, they can't just leave town, they got to go back to the Rebbe and excuse themselves from the Rebbe. Kavod HaRav, you have to have kavod for your Rebbe, and you have to say goodbye a second time, even though you already said goodbye. By the way, it's not a function of saying goodbye, meaning you're excusing yourself, like forgive me for leaving. So Shenem Rabbi Yom Hashmini Shalach Hatzam Beivarchu Es HaMelech, and how do we know this? We go back to the incident with Shlomo HaMelech. He gives a bracha to the Jewish people on day 8, right? What we call Shmini Atzeres. And meanwhile, Ksiv Rabbi Yom Hashmini Shalach Hashvi Shalach Hatzam, and it's on the 23rd day of Tishrei where now he's saying goodbye to the people. 23rd day of Tishrei, what? It's not the 23rd day of Tishrei, right? 7 days of Sukkot, that goes from 15 to 21. Day 22 of Tishrei, right? No one think like a gullus person, meaning we were just 8 days. So 22nd day of Tishrei, that's Shmini Atzeres. So what's the 23rd day? What are we talking about? So Elamikan, basically yes. Elamikan, Taman Aniftar Meraba Valamba Osoir Tzarchli Patrimi Menopam Acheres. So that's exactly the point, that the Jewish people who stayed that night in Yerushalayim, so yes, they just got a bracha from Shlomo HaMelech on day 8, on Shmini Atzeres, which was the 22nd day of Tishrei, but 23rd day of Tishrei, they're still there. Shlomo HaMelech is the Rebbe, so they're going to go and they're going to ask for excuse themselves from the Rebbe on the next day as well. Okay. Amar Lei Lebrei, B'nei Adam Halalu Anashim Shel Surahim. The Rashbi is saying about these two Tanayim, they are Anshei Anashim Shel Surah, literally men of form. Rashi explains, Chachamim, right? They're really wise, intelligent people. So he goes to his son, Rashbi goes to his son, and he says to his son, you should get a bracha from them. So Zil Gabehun Delevrachucha. So Rashbi instructs his sons to go get a bracha from these two. So Azal Ashkechino Dekaramu Krai Ahadade. So now the Rashbi's son goes to these two Tanaim, and they're discussing Psukim. So one pasuk says, Ksiv Pales Ma'agal Raglech, Palais, Rashi explains, means shkol mitzvos. I want you to weigh mitzvos out against one another. Meaning, right, life is short, we're going to do mitzvos, but cherry pick the mitzvos that you're going to do. Do the bigger mitzvah. Okay, wait. Good, wait. So that's one pasuk. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. And meanwhile, ksiv orechayim penta palais. And then there's another pasuk that says, don't weigh out the mitzvos. Meaning, you have a mitzvah opportunity, you do it. And don't try to figure out, oh, this is a small mitzvah, that's a bigger mitzvah. So the Gemara says, so good, it's a steer amongst psukim, whether or not we should consider one mitzvah against another mitzvah. Now I know, I was also thinking, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, don't do this. Right? Don't try to figure out which is a bigger mitzvah, which is a smaller mitzvah. But anyway, it's a steer. So lokasha kamim mitzvah shev shal asos ha'idei acherim, kan b'mitzvah she'iyev shal asos ha'idei acherim. If it's a mitzvah that you cannot outsource, okay? You, in other words, it's mitzvah needs to be done, and there's no other person that can do it, so then you got to do it. And that's the second pasuk that was quoted. That's the pentipales. Don't weigh out mitzvahs. However, if the mitzvah can be outsourced, so that means now that I have a big mitzvah opportunity, I have a smaller mitzvah opportunity, the smaller mitzvah opportunity can be outsourced, so then do the bigger and don't do the smaller. Now,
what is it outsourced?
Outsource meaning get somebody else to do it. So in other words, obviously, right, obviously we're not talking about mitzvah shebegof, meaning like tefillin as an example, that you can't outsource that mitzvah. We're talking about hachnasas kala, levayas hameis, something along those lines. I still don't know, meaning obviously the Gemara does not pinpoint how we can identify which is the bigger mitzvah and which is the smaller mitzvah, and the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says don't try to figure it out. So that part is, that part I don't have full clarity on, making an admission, but the idea of the Gemara is that if the mitzvahs cannot be outsourced, so then you're going to have to do what quote-unquote the smaller mitzvah. Now also just another point to consider, which the Gemara does not discuss, is the idea of oseg b'mitzvah partam in a mitzvah. If you already started one mitzvah, so then you're going to be exempt from doing another mitzvah. So this idea of let's decide which mitzvah to do, the bigger or the smaller, and the smaller one can be outsourced, has to be talking about a scenario where you haven't started doing the mitzvah yet. Because once you started, so then we have the principle of oseg b'mitzvah. Next, Hadar Yasru on the top of Testament Beis. More conversation amongst the Tanaim. Let me name the Tanaim again. Right, the Rashbi held them to be unbelievable Tamidim. So they are, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim and Rabbi Yonasan ben Amasya. Okay, so the again they're discussing, the Rashbi's son is sitting there waiting for a bracha, but they're discussing Yosef v'kami b'ilehu, top of Testament Beis. It is more precious, and you can't compare anything to it. Now, by the way, it meaning Talmud Torah, meaning as Rashi says. We're talking over here of Isak HaTorah, being involved in the study of Torah. So, anything you may think is important, meaning any of your mundane activities, can't compare to being involved in Torah. But meanwhile, that's a pasuk. And the diuk is, ha-cheftei shamayim yishav haba. If you have an opportunity to either A, learn Torah, or B, do a mitzvah should trump Talmud Torah.
But learning Torah is mitzvah,
right? Right. Uksiv, just one second. Uksiv kol chafetzim lo yishav haba. Da'afil cheftei shamayim lo yishav haba. We have another pasuk that says, kol chafetzim, the word kol is a ribui. It means you can't do anything if you're learning Torah. Torah is so paramount that not even a mitzvah. So once again, stira. On one hand, it says learning Torah is going to trump other mitzvahs. On the other hand, the pasuk says no. If you have a mitzvah opportunity, so then you take a break from learning Torah. So again, same answer. Kam b'mitzvah she'ef shal asosah yadeachem. Kam b'mitzvah she'i efshal asosah ayadeacherim. If the mitzvah can be outsourced, so you continue learning Torah and have somebody else do the mitzvah. If the mitzvah cannot be outsourced, so then you leave the Torah to do the mitzvah, right? Generally speaking, right? Oseg b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. You know what the one exception is? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, we don't say oseg b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. A number of reasons why. The primary reason that's given, you could say really two basic arguments why it is that by Talmud Torah, we don't say oseg b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. Number one, there's always a mitzvah to learn Torah. So that if there's always a mitzvah on Torah, you can excuse yourself from doing any and all mitzvahs because Talmud Torah. Number two, right, Talmud Torah is a means to doing a mitzvah. So how strange would it be that, oh, I can't do a mitzvah, why not? Because I'm learning. Well, no, you're learning so that you can do mitzvahs. So, okay, so two basic reasons why it is, but if you cannot outsource a mitzvah, so then you stop learning and you do the mitzvah.
It's time to doubt. One of the reasons that you also
went into
Torah in the morning,
probably spring, okay, even though you're not learning. Tosfos, right, Tosfos and Brachos, that's right, absolutely correct. So, Amalei, my bais hacha. So, finally, they notice the son of the Rashbi is there, and so the question is a very blunt question. What are you doing here? So, Amalei, Amalei, Abba, Zilga bai del Rachucha. So, the son says, I was instructed by my father. My father told me to get a bracha from the two of you. I'm here, I'm ready to receive my bracha. Now, I'm going to read the brachas kipshuta, the simple pshat in the brachas, and you're going to be thinking to yourself that with every line that I'm about to read, doesn't sound like a bracha. And don't worry, you won't be alone. The son of the Rashbi is going to feel the same way. Like, this does not sound like a bracha. So, I want you, so this is a bracha that they're giving him, the son of the Rashbi. Number one, Yehei Rava Tetezareva Lutechatzed. I want you to plant your seed, but I don't want you to sow. Okay, and right, I don't want you to harvest anything that you planted. Te ayel velo te poke. Bring things in, but nothing should go out. Meaning, why you have a business and So you get your product, and I hope you never sell your product. Okay. Tepuk velo teayel. Right? Things should go out, but you shouldn't come back in again. Meaning you're not going to recoup. Lechre beitech, your house should be destroyed. Lesev ushbeitech, I hope you sleep in an inn. Levalva petorech, your table should be like confused and bilbo, right? Totally upset. Right, you shouldn't have any peace at your table. And lo techse shasa charetan, I hope you don't see a new year. Okay, good. Those are the brachas given by these two Tanaim to the son of the Rashbi. The son of the Rashbi goes home, and what do you think he's going to tell his father? So ki also legabe avu, you don't have to wonder. The Gemara spells this one out. So the ki also legabe avu, he goes back to his father. Not enough that they didn't give me a bracha, but they pained me with what they said. Or what they tell you. So hachi ba'achi. So he repeated exactly what they told him. Amrle hanakula berchasa ninhu. The Rashbi says you have to look at it correctly. Right? Fantastic muster. Oh, it's great. Yeah, you have to look at it correctly. It's all a bracha. You just have to look at it correctly. So tizara vol techatze. And so therefore, what the Rashbi now is going to do for his son is say pshat in the bracha. So this idea of you're going to plant, but you're not going to sow, totally banim velo yamusu. It means you're going to have children, and they're not going to die in your days. Tayel velo teapek, tayel kalasa velo lemusu. And you're going to bring something in, and you're not going to, that wasn't talking about business, that was talking about a wife. You'll bring a wife in, she will not die. Tayel kalasa velo lemusu banech delitkun. Your son should bring in wives, and your sons will not die. And so therefore, because if your sons die, then your wives are going to leave. Your daughter-in-laws are going to leave. So basically, your sons are going to keep living so that your daughter-in-laws stay in the family. Tepuk velo tayal, tolid banasa, you'll have daughters, velo yamusu guvraihu. Their husbands, your son-in-laws, are not going to die, velo hajul avasech, because if your son-in-laws die, so then your daughters are going to come back to you, right? It was understood back then that the daughter would go to the family of the son. Lechre beisech v'leisev ushbizach. This idea of your house should be destroyed. What does that mean? And you should live in an inn. So the hayama ushbizach. This world is we're all living in a one big hotel, right? This is all temporary. V'hayama beisa. And dechsiv kirbam betemo laolam, alti kri kirbam ela kivram. And the idea of bias, what's bias? The graves. The graves are a bias. So so when they said your bias should be destroyed, it means you shouldn't be buried. Meaning you should live a long life. And levavel peturech. And what is this idea of your table should be it should be commotion going around your table? What does that mean? Bibam nebanasei. Meaning little kids running around the table. That's a bracha. It's not a klala. Right? It's noisy and I can't keep, you know. And what's going on here? That's good. And below techse shasa charata delotamos. I'm sorry. And the last thing they said to you, right? You shouldn't see a new year. What does that mean? Delotamos dinasech. Your wife shouldn't die. Below tinasev intsase achrisa. And marry a new wife, right? Your first year with your new wife, that's called a shana charata, right? That's what we call shana rishona. I mean, that's considered a new year. And so what the bracha was is that your wife should never die, and not never, but right, your wife should live for a long time, and you're not going to be forced to marry a new wife. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Mechalafta, good. That ends the brachas that were given by by these two Tanaim to the son of the Rashbi. And it needed an interpretation, and the Rashbi gave interpretation to these brachas. Rabbi Shimon Mechalafti, Patamine de Rav, we're going to have a similar piece of Agadata regarding Shimon Mechalafti, who excuses himself from Rav. Amr le libre, right, the Girsa. Amr le libre, so he says, son, zilagabe de levrachecha. So go to Rav and go get a bracha from Rav. Amr le yehei Rava delo tibayesh velo tisbayesh. Oh, okay, Rav's giving a bracha, so maybe it's God's will that you are not going to embarrass anybody else, and you yourself won't be embarrassed. Okay? Asagabi Avua. So the son goes back to the father. Amrale my Amalach Amrale Milam Baamahu. The son was totally unimpressed with the bracha. That's the bracha. I'm not going to get embarrassed. Meaning, Milam Baamahu. To Amrale, Amrale Bercha, Berchasa de Bercha, Kujabrikhuli, Suavatanabe. So the father says to the son, no, don't take it lightly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it important enough that not only did he give this bracha once to the Jewish people, he gave it twice to the Jewish people. The pasuk in Yoav, "V'achaltem echov v'savov v'yilaltem v'lo yevoshu ami la'olam v'yidatem ki bekerv Yisrael ani." So one pasuk in Yoav that speaks to this idea that my nation should not be embarrassed. V'lo yevoshu ami la'olam, and a second time mentioned in the pasuk of not being embarrassed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it fit to give this bracha of not being embarrassed twice to the Jewish people. So it's not milin ba'alma, it's not just words. Okay. Adkan divrei Agadatam. We're going to continue now in the Gemara. We're going to go back to the Mishnah, and we're going to discuss the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we talked about how you're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, right? The only wedding that could take place during Chol HaMoed is Machzik Rushasa. But a Besula, an Almana, even Yibum cannot be done on Chol HaMoed. And then the Mishnah went on to discuss basically, women in makeup on Chol HaMoed. Osa isha tachshita b'moed. So she could put on makeup on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo sasa mimnei shenivahu la. So Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you can't. I'm sorry. I should have been clear. I'm going back to the Mishnah. I'm reviewing the Mishnah so that we can get ready for the next little bit of Gemara. A woman shouldn't put on this kind of like application, facial, I guess you would call it. You'll forgive me. I don't know what I'm talking about. So the shenivahu la, because while the facial is on, while the facial is on, so it's disgusting. It doesn't look good. So even though the result will be good, but in the current state right now, it's not good. And then, let's stop over there in the Mishnah. With Tfira, we'll talk tomorrow. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara here calls a Braisa. Elin tachshita nashim. So these are the things that a woman can do. Kochelas, that's some sort of eye application. Pokeses, Rashi describes as basically combing and parting her hair. Ma'avira srak al paneha, putting on some sort of rouge. V'igadami ma'avira srak al paneha shomata. And some say that it's also tending to her hair that is in a private area. V'vasad Rav Chista mekashta ba'anpe kalasa. The wife of Rav Chista put on makeup in front of her daughter-in-laws. And now someone goes over to Rav Chista. You know, your wife is putting on makeup. She's too old to put on makeup. In other words, the heter in the Mishnah, I know we're all going to laugh, and the laughter is totally appropriate. The heter to put on makeup, this is the argument that he's constructing. The heter to put on makeup is for young girls, but not for old women. And you're an old woman. Lo shanu ala yalada. I don't even know how he had the guts to say this. I mean, I guess because he had the guts. But like, okay, aval zakena lo, but she's a zakena. Now, mind you, by the way, she's a zakena because she has a daughter-in-law. Oh, that makes her old. So amale ha'elokim. The response to Rav Chista was, "Oh my God!" Like, meaning you're not right. Afilu imech, afilu imedi imech, afilu omedes al kivra. Does not matter how old she is. She's a mother. She could be a grandmother. She could be Omedis al-Kivra. I know that's strong language, but basically it doesn't matter how old she is. Dharmi inshi bashis and kavashis lekal tavle rahata. Right? When a 6-year-old is like a 6-year-old when they hear music. Meaning a 6-year-old when they hear music is going to dance. The 6-year-old woman is going to dance. There's no such thing as an old woman. I mean, that doesn't exist. And so, no, your argument of that our Mishnah's heter to put on makeup is only for young girls, that's not, Rav Chista says it's just simply not correct. Rav Yehuda Amar Lo Tasa, let's just do a little bit more for today. The Rav Yehuda says that you can't put on a sid, a kind of facial. Tanya Rav Yehuda Amar Isha Lo Tasa Min Meshe Nivahu La. Omodi Rav Yehuda Besid She Yecholu Lekapel B'moi She Toflaso B'moi Alfa Pishe Metziru Achsha Smechu L'Achra Zman. If you have the facial already on, now I don't know what that means, meaning you had it on over Yontif, again, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but just, I get the basic idea. If you have it on, you could peel it off on Chol HaMoed. That you're allowed to do. Now, even though it's going to hurt when peeling it off, and that's going to disturb your Simchas Yontif, but when it's finally off, so she'll be radiant, hair-free. In other words, it's painful, but with a pleasant result. And basically what the Gemara now is going to wonder is, Rav Yehuda subscribed to that argument, that right now in its current state it's painful, the peeling off of the facial is painful, but because it's going to yield a good result, so therefore it's okay to chol hamoed. Umizla the Rav Yehuda Isvar Vatanan Rav Yehuda Amar Nifrayim Mehem Mimnesha Meitzar. You can collect money from a non-Jew. This is one of the first discussions in Avodah Zarah. You remember over there, what's the problem? 3 days before their holidays, before their Avodah Zarah holidays, you can't do business with them because if they make a score before 3 days before the Yontif, so they're going to be happy and they're going to thank their gods, and you're going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. Okay, so 3 days prior to the Yontif, you can't do any type of business transaction. What about collection of a loan? So Rav Yehuda says, yeah, that's okay. Right? Nifrayim Mehem Mimnesha Meitzar. Because when they pay back their loan, so that's, it's painful. Meaning it's painful to pay back a loan, right? You're going to have to really pinch your penny and to pay back a loan. Amru lo afa pisha meitzu achshav smechu lachrazman. What do you mean? The Chachamim say to Rav Yehuda, that's not a good argument. They're going to pay back their loan. You're right. At the time of collection, they're going to be sad. But a day later, 2 days later, they're going to think about it. They're debt free. That's exciting. They're going to be excited a day later, 2 days later. And then when the Yontif comes, they're going to thank their gods. And what's the problem? You see what the problem is? That Rav Yehuda, in the argument over there by Avodah Zarah, looks at the moment of the payback of the loan and does not look at the pleasant effect, the pleasant after effect. And here, regarding the woman and her facial on Chol HaMoed, Rav Yehuda says, let's look at the pleasant after effect, even though the removal, the peeling of the facial is very painful. So the Gemara is going to give two answers. Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Hanach Lehilchos Moed Dekulo Meitzar Achshav V'Semech La'Achazman Ninu. So answer number one of the Gemara is, leave Chol HaMoed out of the discussion. You know, anything which is allowed in Chol HaMoed is in its current state unpleasant, right? Cooking. I know people enjoy cooking, but cooking is work. And meanwhile, you're allowed to cook in Chol HaMoed, and it's the after effects which are pleasurable. Meaning it's the eating of the food, but the actual cooking itself, that's obviously work. So don't compare Chol HaMoed to the halachas of doing business 3 days before Yom Tov. Ravina Amar Kusi Linyan Piron La'ola Meitzar. And Ravina gives another answer, and that is, no, they really are comparable, but what Rav Yehuda's argument is that when the Kusi pays back his debt, there's never a pleasant after effect. Meaning for him, yes, being debt-free is wonderful, but the Gemara says that the mentality of the Kusi is they're always going to be upset that they don't have money anymore in their pocket. So that's why you can't compare the halachas of the non-Jew and that of Chol HaMoed. Okay, so the Gemara resolves what seems to be the steer between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. Okay, so again, what we discussed today is more about the issur of getting married in Chol HaMoed. We talked about Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Shlomo HaMelech made 7 days of Chanukah Sabayis in addition to 7 days of Sukkot because of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Gemara's discussion of them eating on that Yom Kippur. They had guilt about it. Kadosh Baruch Hu assuaged their guilt. And then we had a lot of Agada today regarding Bracha. And even if the Bracha doesn't sound like a Bracha, it is. Just requires the right interpretation. And then more halachas today about tachshitei nashim, about women adorning themselves on Chol HaMoed.